Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Big Apple Hockey. We are just a duo today as we got the big show on right now. I, of course, am your host, Mark Williams. Playoff scruff is activated as hopefully playoff beard by the end of the weekend. Sorry, guys, I don't exactly grow facial hair that much. There's my banner. I've been looking around for it. And, of course, joined by the host of the Final Buzzer, who did some work last night, a Mr. John Falkowski.
2-0 series lead. Rangers looking real good right now. Islanders, maybe a change in net can give them a shot in the arm. So let's see what happens with these next two playoff series.
Hands down, I got to agree with that. Maybe the change in net. And this is the problem when you have that goaltending conversation and goaltending carousel that now, no matter what, it ends up being, you think it's there, but no, Maddie, no, it's not going to be there today. But we're going to talk more about the Islanders and the Rangers, of course, in the A block. Let's go right to it. Where the Rangers finished off the Capitals 4-3 last night. And, of course, the A block is sponsored by SeatGeek. Use the promo code BigAppleHockey for $20 off your first order. Big Apple Trucky hats are available, and Big Apple Hockey shirts are available. Not trucker shirts. There are no trucker shirts. How are we doing, Todd? How's it going today? And
he put a razor in the thing.
A what?
The emoji was a razor.
Oh, the razors. Oh, I thought they were hammers. See, this is part
it's
of the
like
problem. Getting older and my eyesight's going. Of course, look for the Final Buzzer with John Falkowski, or the next day after, you might see me doing a post-game show. But again, as I let in, the Rangers win 4-3 versus the Capitals. Capitals scored first. The Rangers went up 2-1. Capitals back and forth with them a little bit. Full control in the second period. And the Caps did fight back, make it interesting, and they had to make every Ranger fan nervous in the third period. And you can kind of even see that puck by Pacioretty, that would have counted, Phil, if when he tied the game with – you could have tied the game with seconds remaining. But up 2-0 in the series, are the Rangers in full control?
You know what? The Ranger fan in me wants to say no just because of the fact that I've seen this movie before and they don't like to close out series in short amounts of time for whatever reason. But I'd have to think that they are in very, very close to full control. I do think that Washington's going to come out on Friday and they're going to attack with full force. They're going to come out flying. It's like the wounded animal theory when they're backed against a corner. They come out, and this is what Washington's going to be. And the Rangers have got to weather that storm. If they can weather that storm and get that first goal and get that lead in that game, then I think this series is done in four. If they win game three, it's done in four. I don't see how Washington comes back with their spirits broken, because Washington's going to give them the best effort they've put together all year on Friday. So it's up to the Rangers now really to make sure that they get through the first, I would say, 10 or so minutes of that game. Maybe it could even be a period. But Washington pushed back last night, and the Rangers were able to deal with that early goal for McMichael, again, and kind of a defensive breakdown, and they were able to recover from that and then take the lead in that game. And they blew that lead. Again, you know, a one-goal lead, and they blew that. Washington tied it, and then they went up. And they went up 4-2 on some great plays, including that Keandre Miller shorthanded goal, which was just chef's kiss, just that good. The Mika Zibanejad getting going, you talked about that. That was key. It feels like you've been beating that drum for a while. I feel like there have been, I don't know how many Bar Talk segments that we've had involving Mika Zibanejad over the last, I would say, 3-4 months. So it was good to see him going. He got first start of the game. He played very well. He deserved it. Chris Kreider was great in game one. He was all over Alex Ovechkin, kind of reminiscent of the job that Rick Nash did on Ilya Kovalchuk and Alex Ovechkin in the 2010 Olympics that actually prompted Mike Babcock to bring him onto the 2014 Canadian Olympic team. So, Chris Kreider looked really good. That top line is playing better. Jack Roslovic, just what a goal that was. Just an incredible shot. One of the better snipes we've seen all year. Absolute brilliant shot there by Roslovic, and he needed that. He needed to get on the board, and he needed to do something, because there's word that a certain someone might be returning sooner than later. So if that's the case, the Rangers are going to get a real nice shot in the arm, and that would be some great and more than welcomed depth for them.
I got to, once again, just continue what you're saying with that, echoing the praise for Roslovic on that shot. That shot was amazing.
Beautiful.
He was absolutely fantastic with that. And all of us, I was watching it with Maria and her cousins, and it was, we all just looked at each other and went, wait, that's in? And like, yeah, it's in. The players that we were all pointing at it. And it was just outstanding. Now, one thing you kind of have to worry about with Ovi, because I think the step on line got matched up against him, as you were mentioning that back in 2015. And a lot of guys were very thankful when Derek Stepan got moved out of the Metro division. Now, Kreider doing a great job against Ovi. That's great. I got to go back to this one because, Phil, when Anthony and I filled out our brackets, We mentioned one of the questions I have is, if your team was going to win the cup, who do you think would be the Conn Smythe Trophy winner? Mika Zibanejad's one of those guys. If he gets rolling, he could easily do that, very easily. And we know the talent's there. Look no further than the Washington Capitals. I think it was the second to last game, or maybe the last game at MSG before the COVID break, when he scored 5 goals. And he's defensively a good player. I think in this series so far, Phil, I think he's been great on takeaways. He's been just stripping the puck, intercepting passes. And even though he didn't get a goal in game one, it kind of felt like it was something that could happen. But you mentioned it, that PK, when he just took the puck away, went in, him and Kreider on the give and go. I thought the puck's going back to Kreider, and he feeds it back to Miller, and Miller's wide open for the goal. If you want to have a negative out of last night, the Rangers specialty teams, the penalty killing was only 3-for-5. They're much better than that. And they kind of let Washington still stick around. But, Phil, one thing I got to go back to with this series. What's the one area where we were able to say, when we were predicting this, where Washington was going to try to win this series? They were going to get physical. We talked about this weeks ago. And yeah, sure, Matt Rampe has something to do with that, to be a deterrence. But there's very much a we're not going to take that attitude. And I'm sorry, Caps fans, including my friend Barry that's watching, that hit on Oshie was totally clean.
It was absolutely clean. And I have a couple of pictures on my phone that I've posted all over Twitter showing that the first point of contact is not the head. Principal point of contact is not the head either. It's a clean play. You know what that hit reminds me of? I know this might trigger a couple of fans, of Ranger fans, was when in that 2020 season, when Zibanejad missed that time that he missed during that year because Patrice Bergeron reverse hit him.
Yeah.
Same exact type of hit, same exact type of result.
And look, it shows that when Washington was up, the Rangers tied it fairly quickly. Washington has had the lead for I didn't even look. I should have actually.
It's only a few minutes in this series.
Yeah. 2 minutes and 46 seconds, I think I have off the top of my head. So that's all they got so far in this series, Phil. This is something that the Rangers can go and just put the game away on Friday night. Expect Washington to give their best effort. And yes, Brian, you're right about this one. Ogie had it coming, and look, Phil said it best. A lot of guys look at Ogie and just think shootout player and that Sochi Olympics thing, but he is a very chippy guy. And I don't know if that goes back to his days in St. Louis.
Yeah, he's been like that for a while.
He's always been? Okay. But, Phil, one question I do have, and one thing that could change the series, is what if Washington goes to Darcy Kemper?
I don't think that's going to do much. I really don't. I just think they're outclassed. I mean, could Darcy Kemper provide slightly better goaltending? Maybe, but are you really going to blame Charlie Lindgren for the way that they're playing in front of him?
Not necessarily, but it would change things up.
Completely flawed?
I think it would change things up. Maybe mess with some players' heads. They've been shooting on a lefty for 2 days. Go to the righty.
All right. So maybe that's it. Maybe that does that. But I mean, I don't know if that even does much, because you got to remember they're so used to shooting on lefty catching goaltenders that a righty was really the change. Lindgren's a righty like Barrasso was. So yeah. That's really the one thing that they could take to their advantage, but they can't even do that. They can't even. I'm with Pete on this. They could put Hasek in that. I don't think they're. I don't think they're beating the Rangers at this point. I don't. Mm-hmm. I thought that Washington would maybe have a chance. Maybe they extend it to five, but that's about it. If they can win one in their own building, maybe. But I mean, yeah,
you can't see it going to six, right?
No, I can't see it going to six. Three stars is right here. Welcome to the channel, by the way. I don't think we've seen you before on here. But yeah. Lindgren's been the best Caps player all year. I would agree with that, and it's a wild take to think that Kemper would help. I don't see it.
Well, again, I'll point to look no further than the Capitals back when they won the Cup. Grubauer, you always point to that one.
Different team.
Yeah, different team, different circumstances. And by the way, welcome to the channel, three stars. And yeah, Lindgren's been their best player, but how far is he going to be able to take you? He has played a career-high amount of games this year, and it's only going to be a matter of time until he's just gassed. And that could also be a possibility. I'm not seeing that he's gassed. I thought he was the reason why he kept them close in game one. But, I mean, it's sometimes the old expression of you can't change everybody. You can't. It's usually used for a coach. Can't fire 25, but you can fire one, or yeah. Can't trade 25. But keep in mind, last year, though, the Rangers had a 2-0 series lead. They outscored the opposition 10-2, and a simple goalie change and a forecheck change changed the entire series. Do I see that happening with Spencer Carberry versus Peter Laviolette? As Phil is saying right there, I agree with him. Hell no. And it's just...
Where's the Jack Hughes? Where is the Timo Meier? Where is Dougie Hamilton? Where is any of that right there? And not only that, but their best player looks old, slow, frustrated, and exasperated. He looks just downtrodden. Like he's lost without Backstrom. The team just lacks the depth. It lacks the depth. And listen, Akira Schmid was okay for the Devils. He wasn't great for them. Let's not be fooled by any numbers or the fact that they lost that series. that team, I had no problem saying this, especially after seeing what Larry Brooks said about the Gallant-Panarin conversation that was had in front of everybody. I think that team quit on Gallant because Gallant refused to make any adjustments, and they quit on him, and that was it. And you know what? I can't say I blame him at this point. And look at where we're at now. The better head coach, better team, better mentality. I think this team goes in on Friday. I think they shove the knife into the wound just a little more just to get them ready for that coup de grace.
If they win Friday, it's a sweep, right?
I think it's a sweep if they win Friday. I don't see how this team recovers.
I've said Caps in five, and I'm going to say there's going to be a game Wednesday night. By the way, Phil, 2 days off for travel you days?
Caps in five, Mark?
All right, Rangers in five. I said Rangers in five, I meant.
Oh, you said Caps.
It's in the article. Oh, it's not a mess up.
Oh, man.
It's not a mistake.
Yes, that is.
Let's go across the river back to Long Island as game three is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Canes lead 2-0 in the series. Anthony and I broke down some of it last night. You can always check out. Or yesterday afternoon, I should say. Check it out later. It's not the GIF.
Yes, it is the GIF. Anthony would agree if he was here.
All right, fine. Let's get the GIF. All right, but there we go. Doe, Mark messed up. Everybody else gets to speak a little bit. All right, but Phil, the Islanders had a 3-0 lead in the game. The game winner and the game tying goal were 9 seconds apart and 2:06 remaining. And the Islanders, only 12 shots in the game. Shades of Jack Capuano in Game 7 versus the Washington Capitals.
I said the same thing last night. Oh, jeez.
Oh, my goodness. I said it yesterday on the show, so there you go. But, Phil, two games are at home. They're going to turn to Ilya Sorokin, who we know has got plenty of talent. Can the Islanders actually even this series?
Can they? Yes, anything can technically happen. I
hate that drawback.
What?
I hate that line so much. Anything can happen.
You know what? I can't. Yes, it's true though. It can happen. Do I think it will happen? I don't know. The one thing I'll say is that Carolina's goaltending has not really been that great in this series.
Nope.
I gotta plug that comment right there for Maria. Why not Nugget Apple Hockey? Big Durian Hockey? What is this? Legend of Zelda? Hardy Durians for everybody? Tears of the Kingdom? Let's go. But, I do think that if Sorokin comes in and he's at his best, I do think that they can even this series. Will it happen? That's a different story. But they have to play 60 minutes. They cannot get a lead and then after 40 decide that they're going to sit on it like they have the entire year. And that's why they have so many loser points, because they blow leads, they get to overtime, they lose in overtime, and then that's how they've gotten here. And you can't win like that. That's got to be a mentality that's got to be erased. And you know what? We thought Patrick Waugh was going to come in, correct a lot of that from Lane Lambert, but it does not look good for them in that regard. Another thing that works in their favor. No, not that. That. Brett Pesce is likely.
That is true. That is a big one.
Series. That's a big one. That's somebody who logs 22-plus minutes a game for them. And it's a solid shutdown defenseman. So the Islanders have to take advantage of that. You're going – And not only that, but you know who's coming in for him, right?
Tony D'Angelo. Yep.
And what is Tony D'Angelo absolutely terrible at?
Defense.
Thank you.
Yes, so hands down.
Take advantage of that. Not only that, but he's a complete hothead, and he's prone to taking bad penalties. So Pesce frees up Brady Shea, which is another thing. Great point from the resident Carolina Hurricanes fan here. So now Brady Shea is going to have to play differently with a guy that he played with in New York and did not play well with in New York. Now, are things different from 17, 18, 20, 18, 19, maybe even 2020, the last time they played together. Yes, things are different. But Tony DeAngelo was still awful defensively. And now Brady Shea is going to have to change the way that he thinks the game and plays it, because he's probably going to have a partner who likes to roam around and do whatever the hell he wants. I mean, the last time Rangers saw Tony DeAngelo in, well, one of the last times I should say they saw, oh, the last time they saw him in a playoff game in a Ranger uniform, his own teammate undressed him.
Yep.
So, if anything, yes, Tony is worse now. It's also very easy to get under his skin.
Yes.
Not the defenseman they wanted to line up. So the Islanders, if they're going to win this series, if they're going to come back and even it, they have to take advantage of that, and Sorokin has to be at his best. Yes, I know this is sounding like layup, obvious John Madden-type material, but 40 minutes is not good enough. Patrick Roy has to get these guys on the same page. They have to come together. I don't know if it's a players-only meeting that's going to do the job, or you know, get it done and get them really kind of going. But the leadership group has to step up and has to stop enforcing that.
And Phil, as I've said before, it's concerning.
In a Ranger uniform.
In a Ranger uniform, yeah. It's concerning that. That it's that's mentality when all these players, the vast majority of them are Islanders during the big run. You could say age, but this seems like more of a mental thing. Two things I just want to point out. First, I'm going to get razzed by somebody, at least it's by the most beautiful girl on earth. And secondly, Phil, when you realize that all you need is the word hearty in front of your food, that's what you stock up on in The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and Tears of the Kingdom. So, now, getting back to hockey, which is more important, Ishikov might be activated for tomorrow.
It's tomorrow night? Oh, I'm sorry.
Tomorrow night. Yeah, they're playing tomorrow night. I'm going to the game. So, by the way, if you're going to the game, Islander fans, you see me, feel free to say hi or give me the finger. And so if they deploy Ishikov, that's something that could be a total just wrinkle that Carolina is not prepared for, because they definitely don't have much tape on him. I mean, outside of that shootout move that was on TikTok all over the place. And it's something that the Islanders need to just change up what they're doing. Maybe you put Ishikov on that first line and you move Casey Zizekas down, and then you have that strong center spine that the Islanders have been known for a long time. I mean, you're going to go, if you're rolling out Horvat, Nelson, Pageau and Cizikas, that's a hell of a lot better than, I can't even remember who their fourth line guy is that they've been using. So, but more on that, we'll see about that tomorrow night. I happen to think that Ilya Sorokin will at least win them one game at the UBS, if not two. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us on the A Block. We're going to take a quick break to give a message from DraftKings.
Hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot and an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sports app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN.
Shot. This is the easiest I've ever had to answer.
I'm going to say beer. I can't even begin to describe.
I'm actually going to go crazy. I'm going to buy everybody around on this one. And welcome back, everybody, to Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk, where we're gauging our confidence on NHL topics based on our choice to drink. Are you so confident you're buying everybody around? So I'll have a beer, or I need a shot. But flash the quote. Come on, Phil. Flash the comment. There it is. That
wasn't even the one I wanted to do, though. It was actually this one, which was great because nobody's giving you the finger. But this one was the one I was laughing at before.
Oh, hey, Kristen Eddy. Hey, Kristen Eddy. All right. Yes. Well, and again, play along down in the comments below, everybody. Is it a beer or a shot? Or are you buying everybody around on this one? And let's start with a Ranger who, I mean, he's played well, I thought. Igor Shesterkin, 913 save percentage and a 2 goals against. And I thought they haven't had to ask too much out of him so far. Filk, the Rangers need Peek Shesterkin to beat the Capitals.
Beer? I mean, you're talking Peek Shesterkin, which is the 2022 Vezina winner. I don't think they need that. I mean, would they welcome that? Yeah, that any team.
Oh, any team would welcome that.
But I don't think they need him to be that good to beat this team. I would want him to be that good just because their next opponent is going to be a better team. Whether it's the Islanders or Carolina, is going to be a better team than the Capitals, and that's for sure. So, I mean, I'm with Pete on this one. I think par goaltending beats Washington.
Yeah, and Phil, I'm just going to jump ahead with you. I'm going to say beer on this one as well, because as much as they might need Peek Shesterkin, they might only need him at times. The Capitals have made their presses, like early in the game last night, the Rangers didn't start well. Connor McMichael had the goal, even though that puck was sort of tipped over to him. But all the cast goals have been on defensive breakdowns, except for
even the power play goals that they scored last night. The first power play goal they scored, where Goodrow basically let Strome go to the front of the net,
basically untouched,
and he scored the goal there.
If it didn't get through to him, it was getting over to Pacioretty.
Yeah, and so it's just their defensive breakdowns have gotten into the back of the net, like they're big ones.
Yeah,
I don't see them needing Peak Igor Shesterkin, 930 save percentage Igor Shesterkin, heart caliber Igor Shesterkin to beat this team.
Well, look at what he had to do against the Islanders 2 weeks ago, because he saved that game, and he saved their bacon. They better come out prepared, and they better come out. They better come out the way the Capitals have been trying to come out the last couple of games.
Yeah,
when they go to, I think is it still the Verizon Center?
No, Capital One Arena right now.
Oh, okay. Hell, I remember back when it was the MCI Center.
I remember when it was the MCI Center too, but I went there when it was the Verizon Center, and the only time I saw a Rangers Capitals game at the Verizon Center. Some guy told me that Mike Green was better than Nicholas Lidstrom, and this was fresh off Lidstrom's sixth Norris Trophy win in 7 years.
Was it the year that Mike Green scored 30?
It was that year. Yes, it was the beginning of that year.
I'll forgive him a little bit, but he was greatly mistaken.
No, he was greatly mistaken, because there are only two other defensemen that have won six or more Norris trophies in a span of 7 or more years. Can you name them?
Orr and Lidstrom.
No. Two others.
Two other. Bork.
No. One is a former Ranger.
Doug Harvey.
Correct.
Okay. Took a minute on that one.
Yeah.
Right. Which, by the way, I have a constant debate. Who's the second best defenseman of all time, Phil?
I say Greg Bork.
I go Lidstrom, but narrowly. And I don't think there's a wrong answer on that one.
I think I might have discussed this on here before, but I go Bork because Bork won 5 while being a part of the greatest era of defensemen that we will ever see.
Yeah, if I recall correctly,
did not win his first until Bork was in his last year. Leach had his very best, his great last 100. Great year.
Yeah,
Blake was kind of going down. Coffey was out of the picture at the time.
But he won in 95, 96.
What?
He won that in 95, 96? Sorry.
No, Coffey won in 94, 95.
His last okay, year. Yeah, thanks. I remember he won one of those.
Yeah, he won. He
Bork won 95, 96. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Bork won it in 95, 96. Lynch won it 96, 97. But it Lidstrom didn't win that until all those guys were really like out of their primes at that point. McInnes was not in his prime anymore. Pronger had won his first. Before, a year before, Lidstrom had won his first. So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Well, first, we're going to look forward to the John Falkowski best defenseman in the league right now list that he had last year and when he does it this year. Mm-hmm. So speaking of defensemen and also defenseman changes, Robert Bortuzzo for the Islanders, -1 in the first two games. The Islanders should insert Sebastian Aho for Bortuzzo.
I'm going to go round. I don't think it's a layup, but I do think that the Islanders need more puck-moving defenders that can skate well against this team. As we saw when Truba was out and the Rangers brought in Zach Jones, Zach Jones was incredible in that game against Carolina.
Yep.
And the reason why he was incredible was because of the fact that he could outskate their forecheck and move that puck out of the zone effectively. And Carolina didn't score on them in that game because of that. So, and not just because of that, obviously, but that was a big part of it. When you have a guy like Jones or a guy like Aho that can move the puck out of the zone effectively, and I'm not saying Aho is as good as Jones. I think Jones is better in that regard than Aho is, bias aside. But I still think Aho would be an upgrade over Bortuzzo in this series.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that they should make that change. I think if they make that change and they can get Sorokin going, I really think that it would do a lot for them. Not only that, but you could get your offense going at even strength by having a guy who can move the puck out of the zone effectively. Bortuzzo's not very good at that.
Yeah, I got to say, I think this series, you need to go with Aho. And let me put a round on this one. I think the number one problem I'm going to have with Aho being in is I get it. Sebastian Aho has the same name as Sebastian Aho. But look, the Islanders need a little bit more mobility from their defense, as you were just saying. And I think Bortuzzo has been getting walked a little bit. And even kind of the shot blocks haven't been there. I understand he's got Stanley Cup experience with the Blues, but you really need to change it up a little bit and get Aho in there and get a little bit more skating and mobility. Bilk, I got to point out this outstanding save last night. And actually, all right, well, I guess we're going to go to the big one. I thought we were just going to go to the small one. Watch this save.
This save is unreal.
That is unbelievable. Just seeing that again. Watch it one more time. Oh, we got it with the elbow. Oh, man. Bilk. Oh, wait. I had the wrong one that I was exiting. Bilk, Bobrovsky just made the save of the year.
I mean, there's some real good ones that you'd have to put in. I mean, you go back. I'm not gonna say get the hoop. I'm not. I'm really not here because there are some real, real good saves. I mean, you look at that Jonathan Quick Scorpion save.
Yes.
I mean, that's one of the best saves we've seen all year. I put that right there with it. So I'm not gonna say round. I can't even say round. I mean, I get why somebody would. Considering the situation and the ramifications at that point and what that could have meant if Tampa Bay got that goal. Yeah, I get it, but I'm going to say beer. I'm just going to say beer.
Wow. All right. I am impressed by that because I guess only an idiot would have to just jump up and say round. So I'm an idiot because for me, Phil, I think it's the, it went up twice. I think it's just the ramifications of what happened. That's what's going to make me even get there. He was down and out. He threw as much of his body in front of the net. It hit his elbow. It stayed out of the net. And then Carter Verhaeghe, Mr. Overtime, wins it again. And yes, you could go with the – I'm going to go with a game impact, but the athleticism sometimes, if somebody makes a great save down
five, it's not it definitely belongs in the conversation. I mean, if it got voted save of the year, would I be mad? No. Would I be surprised? No. I mean, would I understand it? Absolutely.
I would. Yeah.
I don't know if it's clear cut for me. That's it. This is just one rambling fool's opinion. So just remember that.
Philk, Boston and Toronto are going to play tonight. William Nylander could be a game time decision. They're hinting he might be playing. I actually didn't even know there was something wrong with them, but they're tied 1-1 in the series going back to Toronto, even though they were tied 1-1 last year going to Tampa Bay. This year's Boston Toronto series feels like last year's Leafs Bolts. I'm going to start this one, Philk, and I'm going to say, you know what? I'll go beer. I think there's just different things to this that make it. They were humiliated in game one for both games in this Saturday and last year when they took the major and you got that Sheldon Keefe face that he had. But Austin Matthews coming alive, getting the game winner in game two, that kind of does give it a different feel. They're doing this without William Nylander, who's been one of their best players. And, of course, Philk, on the other hand, what do you expect but Mitch Marner to be on no show in the playoffs? So, and they need better out of him. You're paying him $11 million.
Just explain to me, how is it that – what's the comparison that's being drawn here? Because I'm not sure if I'm understanding.
Does it feel – or how about this? Does it feel like – does it feel like Toronto might win this series?
You know what? I'll go beer because I get what you're getting at. I don't know if I 110% agree, but there is a feeling that Toronto could win this series. I don't trust Boston center depth. I've said that many times. I've said the key to this series is really to shut down Pasternak and Marchand. If you can force the other guys to do the scoring, you have a great chance of beating that Boston team. But again, Toronto's guys, they also don't like to show up. When it seems like when the tough gets going, they're packing their bags and they're on the next flight out.
Yeah, they're already doing the postseason wrap up.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, Marner's playoff numbers are not great. Matthews are not terrible, but they're not world beating either like they are in the regular season. I mean, is Nylander really their best playoff performer when you think about it? I don't know. I'm going to say beer just because I do think there is some sort of similarity as to why you would feel that. But I hope this one goes seven.
So. Yeah. I actually said Boston in five originally because I just think this is such a bad matchup for Toronto.
I don't – in years past – it's all right, so if Bergeron and Krejci were still playing, I would have said Boston in five. But I honestly – I wonder – about Jake DeBrusk's ability to continue scoring at the rate that he has in the playoffs so far, as this series goes on. Will Keith be able to make the adjustment to stop somebody like DeBrusk while also limiting Marchand and Pasternak?
Mm.
So,
all that's, right.
That's my thing.
Well, I think it's actually a good point because, I mean, and Matthews, Matthews played his – it probably his best playoff game in a while in game two. And I don't want to see Matthews not have success. I know people might disagree with me on that one. Phil, one guy who's going to be possibly out for the entire first round as well is Thatcher Demko, is considered week to week. In the meantime, Elias Pettersson 0 points and -4 in the first two games of the series. Pettersson's production is more crucial than Demko's presence in this series. And by the way, did you see Elias Pettersson miss that open net last night?
Wow, this is actually a tough one. This is one of the tougher ones I think you've tossed up at me. I'm going to go beer. And I say this because you cannot have a number one center like Pettersson having 0 points and -4 through two games. But the Smith is clearly not good enough to stay with Saros. He's just not. The Rangers proved this a couple years back. And it's going to be another losing matchup that he's involved with. The other thing that I've said, and I said this with Matt and Evan last night when they were on with me, was I was concerned about Vancouver and their defense and the way that they play. Because what happens when the whistles start to disappear and guys like Quinn Hughes are forced to play a more physical, tougher checking game? What happens? Pettersson, it seems like he's the one that's even a bigger hindrance right now than Quinn Hughes. So I'd have to say beer just because I think Pettersson being a complete non-factor, if he's a complete non-factor the rest of the series, you're going to have to look at that, I think, a little more than you're going to have to look at that Smith injury when it comes down to it in the end. Because with the Smith, he's not expected to win you that series. It's expected that everybody else has to step up and next man up, and everybody has to produce. And if Pettersson is looked at with, let's just say he finishes the series with like 1 or 2 points in like four games or something like that, and he's a -5 or -6. Like, there is going to be a lot of heat on Elias Pettersson, especially after signing that deal. You wanted that money, and you gave us this effort come the postseason. That he's going to have to handle a lot of heat if that ends up happening.
Phil, I kind of got to agree with you on one thing, that the fans are going to remember that, and they're going to remember it heavily. I've gone on about Chris Drury in 2009 had a goal and an assist in the playoffs and that series against the Capitals that the Rangers blew 3-1, and Nick Zhirdev didn't have a single point. And there's still some fans that say I'm too tough on Nick Zhirdev. Nope. You got to show up. He missed more open nets than Ryan Strome ever could in that series. Now, getting back to this, though, this is a tough one because I don't think you can go without your leading scorer or among your leading scorers, because I know JT Miller was right there too. Pettersson had, I have the number right here, 18 points in the bubble when he went on that run.
Yeah.
And they beat St. Louis, and they beat and they went to game 7, I think, versus the Golden Knights. And I think they included the play-in games, which I always think is stupid. Anyway, they're going to need him, but Philk, man, Thatcher Demko, he was so huge for them in game 1. I honestly think if Nashville must be licking their chops going back home, 2-1, they're rolling. They've been one of the best teams in the league the last 2 months. It's one of the reasons why I said Vancouver is going to have trouble. I wanted to know the health of Demko, but also, does Vancouver have the experience to do this right now? We're going to find that out soon enough. And Philk, one series that is just a ton of offense right now. Avs, Jets. Game 1, 7-6. Game 2, 5-2. The over will hit every game of Avs, Jets in this series.
I'm going to say shot. I think at some point the defense kicks in, the goaltenders start making the saves. More so Demko, or not Demko, Connor Hellebuck than anything. But I will say that these two teams are too good defensively to be letting up as many goals as they've let up so far, especially Winnipeg, who allowed the least goals in the league. That's just crazy. Colorado scored the most goals, and Winnipeg allowed the least. Like, you figured this would be some sort of in-the-middle type matchup where it's the irresistible force versus the immovable object. We just haven't gotten that yet. We've gotten a run-and-gun Super Smash Brothers melee type affair where it's seven characters on one screen and it's just a battle royale, and you see just lights going everywhere because goals are being exchanged. So it's I think that this at some point they're going to slow down. I would imagine the next game the coaches are probably going to really try to tighten both teams up in their end. Miracle on Manchester flashback. Darrell Evans, I was just talking about this earlier on today, I believe. 6-5 overtime win. Wayne Gretzky has 4 points through the first two periods of that game. Edmonton has a 5-0 lead. And Los Angeles scores six in a row, including Darrell Evans' overtime winner. And LA wins that series in five games. Unreal.
Bar down. Is where he went on that.
Yeah, absolutely bar down on that shot. I mean, that was the greatest moment of Darrell Evans' life. Yeah. And that's a name that you would never even know of unless you absolutely know this incident. And as a Wayne Gretzky fan and having watched this many times, that's something that's kind of etched into my head.
And again, Phil, to go into that, you remember if you watched NHL Overtime, by the way, everybody, and the clip is available on YouTube, that the Oilers were just laying down on the ice in disbelief. They could not believe they gave up the 5-goal lead, and it happened within the closing minutes. And by the way, sticking with I forgot my answer for a second. Yeah, I'm going shot on this. I understand that some people might want to argue Connor Hellebuyck in the playoffs. What's his reputation? He's only a 914 save percentage, and he's 18-24 in his career in the playoffs. But yeah, the Avs Jets look like a beer league.
That may be the comment of the afternoon so far. That's pretty accurate, actually.
Yeah. So I mean, there's a lot of things that are gonna see with that. I think Hellebuyck and Winnipeg is gonna tighten up.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure about Georgiev. I think he's going to have one stellar game. I'm not going to lie about that. I think he's also completely lost in his own head, but that's a different story.
I just don't think he's that good.
You know, I'm in agreement with you on it. I didn't think that back then either. And Phil, just staying with that, the Winnipeg whiteout is the best tradition, the playoff tradition in the NHL.
Whoa. I'm going to say beer because the rats in Florida is amazing if you know the story behind that.
Yes.
The octopus in Detroit is great. The fact that Nashville has catfish and now there's a commercial about a dude sneaking a catfish into a game.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to say that's up there, but I got to go beer. The one thing I will say that was really cool is that the Coyotes in their last game adopted it.
Yeah.
And I hate to bring up sad moments there, but that Winnipeg White, one of the coolest things I think I've ever seen was that last game in Winnipeg in 1996 when Detroit basically closed them out and closed out that franchise, send them to Arizona. That whiteout was insane. That crowd was nuts. So, it's up there, but I can't say for sure it's the best.
I am. It was so great. It was carried on by another city. I'll buy a round on this one. There are great playoff traditions that are around the NHL, but this one is just tops. And it said something that Phoenix wanted to carry it on. And yeah, I remember one time there was like one guy that was dressed in red out of nowhere, and they have to point that out. But it's always one of the best traditions. So I love seeing it, and I know every other fan base is sort of doing it. You got the Rangers doing blue. You have the Flyers doing orange. You have the Caps doing red. But this is something completely different.
Do we have a Winnipeg Jets fan here? Because if so, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten plenty of Winnipeg Jets fans from, after all, some of the trades and some of the other things. But
that's
guys, thanks very much for listening to the Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk. We gauge our confidence in NHL topics based on our choice to drink. But let's go around the league. Let's get some of your questions that are going to be coming from that.
A Canuck, but not a rioter. I like it. I like it. Yeah, Vancouver may end up having some rides if they lose this series against Nashville. And I know Demko being out hurts, but my God, they have things are going to get real messy there if they lose this series.
I think, and the way I would say it is, they're a young team. They're going to have growing pains. This would just be one of them. Not every team goes from not in the playoff for 5 years to a Stanley Cup like that. It just doesn't happen. You're going to have to deal with disappointment. John Radigan's asking, what's David Quinn's next job? I think he's going back to college.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not the NHL. It's not the NHL.
Yeah.
I can't see it. It just, how does a team like San Jose that literally has no modus operandi other than getting first overall picks fire him 2 years in? And then you hear the stuff about the Rangers. He was there for, what, 19, 20, 21. He was there for 3 years, and he got canned. So, Notre Dame, that could be interesting. I don't think BU is going to hire him back. McDonald's is hiring.
The Devils are going to be sticking with Travis Green. They had two potential head coaches in waiting when they had Andrew Brunette. They already passed on him. They're going to stick with Travis Green.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see the Devils doing anything other than sticking with Green at this point. I think they're giving him, the exit interviews for Quinn in New York were not kind. I can tell you that right now. I remember those. And then what Ryan Spooner said about him afterwards and kind of some of the other stories that came out after that all lined up, and Quinn just, he doesn't seem to be very liked. And then he went on that Cam and Strick podcast with Cam Jansen and Andy Strickland, and he just took zero accountability for anything that happened and was just super arrogant about everything. And I was like, why would anybody want to play for this guy? This guy has accomplished absolutely nothing, and he's acting like he's the second coming of Scotty Bowman or Al Arbor or Toe Blake. Get out of here, man. Get out of here. You didn't win in college. You weren't good in the NHL. And you know, he basically said he made Zibanejad and Fox. Yeah, and yeah, maybe he can be in the Boondock Saints. So yeah, because he's got that accent. So, but I definitely think that he's done in the NHL. He's just not an NHL head coach. He's not. If somebody wanted to hire him as assistant, maybe. But I don't even see that at this point. Why would they be hiring this guy as an assistant when it's clear that he's not?
That's a good question. And the Rangers had some bad ones. I mean, Michel Bergeron wasn't that great.
But Michel Bergeron was better elsewhere. He was better in Quebec. I mean, the fact that they gave up a first-round pick and, what, 25? I think it was $75,000 or something like that to get him was stupid. I hear the Guangdong Tigers need coaching help. Better get ready to learn Chinese, buddy.
Well, I mean, it's just, again, going with no Nylander tonight, as everybody's commenting that right now.
Yeah, everybody's commenting,
yeah.
Small Apple Hockey needs a coach.
You think Milbury be up there, but Milbury coached the Stanley Cup Finals.
Milbury also won a President's Trophy as coach of the Bruins in 90, I think it was. 90 or 91, one of those two. Brian Trottier, that would be I would be one. He lasted very, very short amount of time for reason. He just wasn't a good head coach. He was an okay assistant.
Do you think, by the way, we're joking. I don't know, a lot of guys are joking about this, but you think he does go to the KHL, revamps his reputation a little bit like Mike Keenan did? But, I mean, Keenan didn't come back to the NHL after that.
I don't know. Maybe. I just wonder. My problem with Quinn is the fact that he coaches like he's coaching out of a coaching for dummies book. Like, yeah. you're telling players not to stick handle on two-on-ones. What are you doing? What are you doing with yourself there? Like, I get you don't want to, like, if you're trying to tell them not to just try all these crazy dangles and be complete puck hogs on two-on-ones, okay, but that's kind of common sense. It's kind of common sense. No one's going to do that. So why are you even saying something like that?
And sorry, that was what I was going.
Yeah,
I'd love to know more about the PWHL.
I watch games here and there, but I honestly don't get to watch enough of them. So I mean, not that I'm opposed to covering it, but it's just I honestly just don't get to watch enough.
Boston rotating goalies, I don't like it either.
Was it Matt? I can't remember who posted this today on Twitter, but somebody said if you have two goaltenders, you don't even have one.
Davis posted it. I've said it numerous times. Usually it's the one about quarterbacks, but I've said it. And the team that convinced me on
somebody
that.
Someone, one of my mutuals actually posted it, and I can't remember who it was, posted it today. Literally saw it, and I actually couldn't agree more with it. Like, how are you going to rotate these two and expect to win a series because you're not giving one consistent time at that point? It just I don't get it.
And it's also the team that kind of proved that to me is the 91-92 Rangers. That great, it was great to have Van Beesbrouck in and Richter in, but you saw what it was like when you gave Mike Richter the starting job in 93-94. And such, and that's just.
Yeah, and everybody always looks back at Richter and the 65-foot shot from Francis, and how that basically derailed that entire series. They should have won the Stanley Cup that year. They should have.
Yeah,
that should have been it. And if they had, God rest Roger Nielsen's soul, but if they had a coach that was a little more firm, with a little more resolve, and the roster makeup was just a tiny bit different. A little more grit. You added Tekin into that team, and you added someone like, I would say maybe McTavish or someone like that. I think they could have won it that year.
Well, I'm sorry. Let me go to Mr. Santastic's comment before I get right back to Mike Eos in a second. But Mr. Santastic says, I like having two quarterbacks. Here's the problem.
No,
and everybody will tell you this.
He didn't say I like. He said it's like.
Oh, it's like. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, then I read it too fast.
Get the kid, Mark.
All right, I'll get it out in a minute. But let's go to Mike Eo right here. So I'll list the teams in the playoffs above the Caps. How is it possible? And you know what? It's just sometimes divisional play and standings, it lines up. There you go.
LCR. And
it's just what happens. I think people tend to freak out and go, the St. Louis Blues, they're 15th in the league and they're not in the playoffs. Sometimes it happens. It's just ebbs and flows.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. A lot of teams do abuse the LTIR. So yeah, that is going to happen. I will say this. You have a team like Vegas getting back Mark Stone, and everybody's making the jokes after the first goal. This is going to change in the next CBA. So the teams that want to get away with it now while you can. Because Emily Kaplan reported that it's not going to change until the next CBA. And I tell you, the next CBA is going to have a lot of discussion around this. A lot.
But here's one reason why I think the Players Association might be all for it. Because you hide stuff on LTIR, and then the players end up rotating in and more money in the playoffs for players that you're paying. Look, I also just think we got to worry about getting too high and mighty about this because the Rangers activate Philip Hedl. They're right in that boat, too. They're going over. The Islanders, if they would have activated Anders Lee for Game 7 versus the Tampa Bay Lightning, they would have gone over the cap. There was the story I just read today about Patrick Kane in 2015 was out for a while. They stashed him on LTIR, and then they added a lot more guys, including Antoine Vermette, who could have gone to the Rangers at the time. And instead, they ended up getting Keith Yandle. So, I mean, there's a lot of that where you have to ask, is it just bad because Vegas is getting noticed for it, or is it bad because Tampa Bay clearly benefited from it? I'm going to say it was probably just bad because you had Tampa that won two cups using that, and then Vegas trying to do it, failing to make the playoffs. And then getting away with it last year, and now getting away with it this year.
I think Vegas is more egregious than Tampa. You got to remember, Tampa, when they had it, Stamkos and Kucherov were out for very, 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 like, the majority of the season. So you're risking not making the playoffs or being in a far worse seed because of this. So you're taking on an inherent risk and a major one at that point. So,
by the way, Phil, I'm sorry. I actually never asked this question to you. Who's in more trouble, Tampa or the Canucks?
The Canucks. I'm going to say this. We all saw what happened when we thought that Tampa was down in the series. They came right back on the Rangers. And yes, I'd say the Florida Panthers are probably a better team than that 2022 Ranger team. They've got a better head coach, even though I'm not completely sold on Paul Maurice as the guy who's going to win it for them.
Mm-hmm.
But Tampa has a group in which they know how to win and they know how to come back from being down. Yes, that Tampa team is a worse team than the one that faced the Rangers 2 years ago. But their core guys know how to get the job done. They do. And Victor Hedman's still there. If they get Mikhail Sergachev back at any point in this series, I would start to look at things very, very differently. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. We haven't really heard a whole lot about him, so I'm going to lean towards no. But Kucherov, Stamkos, Point, Hedman, and Chernak, these are guys that all know how to win. And I'll tell you right now, if they get a lead and they were able to win the next game, if they're able to win game three, then you're looking at a completely different series. Because then it's 2-1 and then Tampa's at home and they can tie it up and bring it back to Florida tied. If that ends up happening, this battle of Florida could go a full 7 games.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you on that. And Tampa's got the experience. They've been there before. Again, looking at them before, just pointing out that Rangers series again, they were down 2-0 and in the series and 2-0 midway through the game. And some teams fold like a deck chair on that. The Rangers could have just stomped on their throats, swept them, and moved on. Instead, it's Tampa. They hunker down. Kucherov scores. Stamkos scores. And then Palat gets that winner with, what was it, 48 seconds remaining or 38 seconds remaining? Mm-hmm. It was something ridiculous, and it left you stunned. The Canucks haven't been through this yet. They've been through the bubble playoffs, and the bubble, you were able to let teams in that normally didn't make the playoffs.
No.
So you can get some good feel for it. I also don't like having your goalie, especially when he's a goalie that I've been very high on for a lot of years. And hopefully it's a bump in the road for the Canucks, and then they move and they're able to grow from there. I still have the Predators in 6. That's what I said all along, and that's what I'm going to stick with. And I said it after game 1 when I thought the Predators could have been the better team. They get a bad goal from Lindholm, and then a deflection from, I think it was Joshua And but then Joshua gave him the lead, right? Oh no, Joshua had the empty net goal. It was a deflection of a Quinn Hughes shot, and then Joshua ends up getting the game, the go-ahead goal within like 9 seconds after that. It was something ridiculous. It was almost Islanders-like. B. Rye is saying, would you be surprised if no Eastern first-round series goes seven?
Yeah, I think Boston and Toronto probably will go seven. I think that's going to be a knockdown, drag-out kind of fight. I if the Islanders win, they're probably winning that series in seven. So I don't see them winning it in six. I don't think they're if they win, they're definitely not pulling off four in a row on Carolina. I would be crazy if they did. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
I think the Rangers are winning in either four or five. I had them in five. I had Carolina in five. I had Toronto in six. And then the other Eastern matchup was Tampa and Florida. And I had Florida in six in that one. So
I don't think I predicted any of them to go seven. I think Carolina and the Islanders, I said, go seven. If the Islanders can tie it 2-2, it goes seven.
Okay.
It has to be 2-2. It can't be 3-1. It's got to be that.
Actually brings up a question sort of like the one that we were just talking about. Which team looks more beat, the Isles or the Capitals? Isles at least have a chance of scoring.
I think the Islanders can make adjustments. I think the Capitals are pretty much what the Capitals are. That's why when Three Stars had to correct me and give me a little laugh about Darcy Kemper, like, what other adjustments are you going to make? That's what I kind of get with on that.
So. Yeah, I don't see – not only that, but I don't know if I said it on our stream, but I'm pretty sure I said it when I was the first time I went live with Matt Nevin from Ranger Central. I said that if you know, getting ahead of Spencer Carberry and making him adjust when he played one style of game all year that led to negative 37 goal differential and that he didn't want to stray from you, making a rookie coach make adjustments in his first playoff series puts a lot of pressure on him. I don't know if he has the ability to make those adjustments right now, especially against a guy who's playing chess while he's playing checkers. So I don't see it.
And going back to this comment, it's, you know, and again, I'm going to say the Islanders because I think the Islanders aren't done. And also it's amazing with the Islanders when they look their worst, then they rattle off six wins. And I was fully ready to see and write the epitaph for them in the Chicago game when they're down 1-0 halfway through the third period. And then suddenly power play goal by Horvat, a sneaky goal by, I think it was Simon Holmstrom that ended up getting a rebound and putting it in, and it barely crossed the line. But you know what? That's what a team does. They grind it out. And I think they're more likely to grind it out under Patrick Waugh than, and I understand they went to overtime in game six versus Carolina. They beat them in game five facing a 3-1 deficit. Carolina, until you tell me Carolina's goaltending can truly be playoff goaltending, I'm not going to believe them. And to have 9 saves on 12 shots, I understand the shot quality. They were all pretty good. I'll say the goals that went in were all good. But come on. But by the way, that's the reason why goalies need to get in a rhythm. And sometimes seeing less pucks hurts them.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Curtis Joseph always played better with more shots on him. Like in those games where he was facing less shots, he would be prone to letting up those bad goals. But you put 45 shots on him in a game, and he was just masterclass in the net. So it's just funny. And that was always one of the big commentaries on him, whether he was in St. Louis, Edmonton, Toronto, that was one of his big things. Just the more shots you put on him, the better he got.
There's a lot of goalies that are like that. Dominic Hasek, Henrik Lundqvist, Mike Richter was incredible. the more I think the more shots he got.
The sequences in which he would stop four, five just shots in a row, and you would just Sam Rosen and John Davidson would just be exasperated, laughing hysterically because they couldn't believe the performance he was putting on at that moment. Richter was great like that. But then Richter would have those moments where he let up those goals like he did in the 95 series against Philadelphia. And just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. What 95 was not his best playoff year, and that's saying something.
Ron the Tom last 71 save performance in a playoff game.
That was in regulation, right?
No, overtime, I believe.
Overtime, all right. Going back to this one, NYR for Life is saying, how imperative on a scale of 1 to 10 is it for the Rangers to score first in game 3? And unfortunately, I got to say 2. Talk about the team with the most comeback wins. They're not going to get phased.
I'm going to say 4. Because it's not a killer, as we saw last game. They don't. But you want to get that first goal. Because if you get that first goal, you take that crowd out of it.
Yeah.
And that crowd is what Washington's going to be feeding off. Could you imagine the look on Ovechkin's face if the Rangers score within the first minute of the game? You think how dejected he looked after that shorthanded goal and that effort that he gave towards that? Times that by about 10, that's how frustrated Alexander Ovechkin is going to look if you get on the scoreboard early against the Capitals and put one in. Especially if they get up 2, forget about it. If they get up 2 early on Washington, forget about it.
Yeah. And let's see, because again, the Rangers record on the road, incredible. The Lobby Lock, let's see if that's going to get working again.
Yeah.
Because early in the season, their numbers, they were great. They were able to I was looking for the Rangers record on the road, but I think their road record is actually better than their home record. But it's something they need to do. Just avoid going down 3 or 4 goals.
Yeah, that's the thing. And then Chris T brought up the whole Tampa thing. But, I mean, again, we're looking at a much better coach in Laviolette than Gallant. That's why Gallant's not here. That's why Gallant may not have an NHL job for a very long time again.
Yeah. Sorry, Phil. Yeah, you choose the next one.
Davey says that he likes Igor having less than 30 save games. It shows that our defense is much better than in the last few years. In 2022, he needed to have 30-plus save games on a pretty much nightly basis. Yeah. Yeah. Sheltered minutes for Trouba has been good. Yeah, I would agree.
Very much.
I think that him and Gustafson were very good in game 2. I think they were decent in game 1, but they were very good in game 2. But yeah, I like this whole sheltered minutes thing. I'll give him his flowers. Trouba came up and he took the demotion and he accepted the reduced minutes. That takes a man to do. I will give him that.
Yeah.
Mr. Fantastic saying that the Rangers have not played their best. Do we sense that? Yeah. You know what? I think they were really good in game 1. They were very close to perfect in game 1. Game 2, sloppy. But not worried, because everything they did in game 2 is easily correctable. Just tighten up the defense just a little bit. And the PK, the reason why I think they let up those 2 goals is that they were uncharacteristically aggressive. Like, we've never seen the Rangers penalty kill that aggressive. Usually they're moving and stuff, but they were kind of going out of their way to try to force plays into turnovers and go for shorthanded goals, I feel. And it cost them twice. So I do think that you're going – and then not only that, but the second goal, the dumb Wenberg play at the line. Like, you can't do that. That's not going to happen again. So they'll be okay. Oh, God. Here's a good one. Because now Mark is going to get absolutely triggered by this one. Does PLD put the Kings on his back? Let's see what Mark goes more crazy for. Cam Talbot or a PLD rant?
Well, actually, Cam Talbot had the second best save percentage behind Igor Shesterkin after the All-Star break. So I'll give Cam his due. But unfortunately, PLD ain't putting anybody on his back. especially not against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
No,
LA, putting LA is
5 assists in a game.
Yeah. I mean, LA, sorry to anybody watching LA fans, but LA is just, they're the ones I look at and say, nah,
no,
it's not.
No, it's not happening.
Trash Panda, by the way, is what my fiance calls Tony D'Angelo. So,
and Michael Malone, welcome to the show. I don't think I've seen you before, but I do agree with you on this. It's definitely, he's definitely being targeted. He's definitely being targeted because the charging call wasn't a charge. You can clearly see him gliding into that hit. I mean, and you can't even call that boarding because he doesn't throw him into the boards directly. And then the call that he got in game two, which was a complete embellishment call. It was a complete embellishment call. And if there was any other player, it would have just been no whistle, nothing like that. New league, new, no more LA, Edmonton. Yeah. It's how many years in a row are you going to get this same series? That's my issue.
Well,
how many years in a row?
If Vegas didn't somewhat tanked in order to get Dallas, then it wouldn't have been a problem. But I mean, if Hedl sits, who's in?
You mean who sits if Hedl's
in? Sorry, that's what I meant to say.
Wow, that's actually a good question. You can't sit Roslovic after he got his goal last night. You want him to get going. The issue with Hedl, there are a couple of things. One, if Roslovic wasn't working, you could put him on right wing one and you know, have him come in and help be the scoring punch that they need on that line. The other thing is that you could put him on line three as the center. He can match up. Is he the greatest matchup center? No, but he's more than passable in that regard. And then that gives line three a real play driver. And then you could get Kaapo Kakko and Will Cooley going, move Alex Wennberg down to line four. Then you move Barkley Goodrow to the wing, and that is probably Goodrow, Wennberg, and BC as line four. Rempe would probably come out. And after they beat Washington, that is. Because I think they want him in there for Washington. I don't think you're going to see him in there against Carolina. I don't. I don't know if he can really keep up with that team.
Dino's fourth in even strength points going into this playoff season for the Rangers in this decade. Filip Hedl, he had 12. And going into it, Artemi Panarin, oh, he had 8 going into this. So it's he hasn't exactly gotten off of Panarin. 3 even strength goals. But I do think, well, again, as Phil outlined it, in the next series, you might want to see Wennberg go down, and then you have Goodrow on the wing where he's better, and Vizi, and that might match up a little bit better with Carolina instead of having Rampe in there. I think Rampe, you have to stick with him the rest of the series.
I think so too. I really do. I think that you go in there. I don't get this comment at all right here. Hedl doesn't deserve to be in. It's too late. I listen, whether you disagree with that or not, it's not really any of our decisions to make.
Right. I think what he's trying to say is it's too late to start just inserting guys into the lineup. But look, hey, it happened. The 94 Rangers won because Doug Lidster got inserted into the lineup. I believe it was game 6 versus the New Jersey Devils, him and Alexander Karpatsev. Yep. And that Doug Lidster ended up being one of the better Rangers in the 94 Stanley Cup run. So we'll go with that.
Yeah.
I think Cooley's been fine where he is. I like this game.
Yeah, I wouldn't. And the thing is not only that, but you want that center depth. And Laviolette talked about it today. Vince Mercogliano had the tweet, I believe. And he liked that the job that all of the lines were doing on Ovechkin. Not just one specific line, but all the lines. And I believe by having Wennberg on that fourth line, you take a little bit off of him when you're expecting in terms of offense. I feel like with fourth line minutes, he can be a little bit more of a play driver on a fourth line. And then you put him with two guys like Gaudreau and Vesey, especially against a team like Carolina. That's two solid matchup lines on your bottom two lines right there. Yeah. Because Kako's good defensively. Cooley holds his own defensively. Hedl holds his own defensively. And that line can give you offense as a solid third scoring line.
And I understand what people are saying. They want to see, like, B-Rai is saying right there, Cooley.
He wants to see Cooley, Gaudreau, Vesey. Yeah, I get it. I get it.
But I think right now you don't mess with Roslovic, even though he was largely invisible the rest of the game, but he got a goal. So,
I'm with State here. Wennberg, you want him at center. You don't want him playing wing. And if you're going to put Hedl in the bottom six, I mean, why not improve your center depth at that point?
Yeah. You don't want to put Hedl on a wing. And, yeah, you go with the center depth. So
I agree, Chris. No need to make adjustments yet. And it's just a good problem that Laviolette has. It's not even a bad one. It's not even a decision that I sit there and say, oh, well, I don't envy, Laviolette having to make this decision. I think come the time, and they may, like, let's just say they go up 3-0. Laviolette may look to insert Hedl at that point. He may. You never know. Just because he may want him to get a tune-up game in before they face Carolina, because it's tough to jump right in to playing against a team like Carolina that plays with that much intensity and speed.
Hey, Phil, which is a more annoying horn, the one in Carolina or the one in Pittsburgh? As you said, the part of playing Carolina is an annoying horn.
I don't know. I don't really. Carolina's maybe. It's not really the horn itself that annoys me. It's the teams that annoy me. So it's more so what do I associate with the more annoying team? And I probably have to go Pittsburgh
there
because of the fact that they've annoyed me for so many years. And you know what? I'd be very happy when they're completely done and the league stops helping them out with all their crap. So,
all right. Hey, Phil, we're at the 7 o'clock hour, so we're going to wrap this one up.
Yeah.
We'll start getting the bye-bye playing. So let's get a couple more comments in, guys. Great job by all of you today with some good questions.
Yeah.
No, not as many, not a layup in the entire time.
No, Mark laid off the layups this week.
Well, fortunately, we had a couple really good questions that were on there. Phil, prediction real quick. Islanders tomorrow night, do they make it a 2-1?
I'm going to go yes. I think they come back to UBS and the goaltending change. I think maybe you could put in Aho or Bertuzzo. And I think they find a way to squeak out a win. Game four, another story. Who knows?
I think they do. I actually think Sorokin might steal the game. And they might rely on him. Look, Wallet doesn't care if there's too many shots on the goaltender, or the shot differential. But you just got a feeling that the Islanders have to have this game. And usually in the games that they had to have, they've won. So that helps. Pittsburgh's always been pampered by the league, so I really don't need that. Overtime, a Game 3 classic. Oh, no. I'm going to be going.
Yeah, it's funny because there have been some real big double overtime games in Game 3s throughout history. I believe Stephen Matteau's first double overtime winner in the 94 series was in Game 3, if I'm correct.
You are correct.
Yeah. So. Was it game three? Was Detroit and Dallas? No, not Detroit, Dallas. Anaheim and Dallas. Was that that crazy five overtime game? Was that
game three? I thought that was a game two. thought it was game two. Anaheim and Dallas that they came back out and I forgot who it was that scored the game winner. What?
Was it Steve Thomas?
Could have been.
I'm just trying to. I'm trying to find Jagr's game
First off, guys, again, Listener Granny, hit the likes.
Like, share.
Gabbert versus Washington.
Washington, yeah, I remember where I was in that one. I remember watching with an old friend of mine who was an Islander fan, but he was rooting for the Rangers as well. And we woke his father up, who had to go to work at 3 a.m. in the morning, and we woke him up at 12:15, and he was not a happy man for that one. Oh, not at all.
Well, here we go. All right, guys, once again, thanks very much for joining us today, and we will see you fairly soon, if not Friday, maybe Saturday. I mean, Lord only knows. Might have two shows on Friday. Might do one in the afternoon and might have folks do one at night. All right. But, guys, thank you very much. If you haven't, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Have 111 of you watching on X and on YouTube right now and a couple other platforms. So, guys, thank you, and hopefully see you again Friday.